Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Queen of the Ring podcast. I am Alex Lajas, your Queen of the Ring, and I'm really excited about this week's episode because we are highlighting Natalia Neidhart, and I think it's been a long time coming for people to finally recognize Natalia, and she is now entering the legendary conversation circle of being one of the best women's wrestlers in this era, and definitely being one of the pillars for women's wrestling and setting the foundation for what women's wrestling is. And if you are a hardcore Divas fan, if you are a hardcore women's wrestling fan, especially during the Divas era, because listen, being a Divas stan, if you will, was a little bit of a struggle bus. And that's more so the presentation of the Divas. That's more so the storylines that went into the Divas. I mean, we all, you know, we don't really need to talk about it, but we all know the Natalia farting storyline that just continued on during that era. But I want to open up the question to you guys. I want to open up the conversation to you guys. So if you're watching this on YouTube, leave a comment down below as to why you think Natalia is the boat, the best of all time. And also tweet at me at Queen of the Ring with two G's. Let me know what you guys think and what's your opinion on Natalia. Because it feels like it's just now that hardcore wrestling fans are giving Natalia the respect that she deserves. And my question is, what took you guys so long? My question is, where were you guys? And why were you not seeing that? And what was the moment that all changed in a fan's perspective with Natalia? So I want to get into that a little bit because, you know, Natalia is in a long line of Nepo babies. There are a lot of Nepo babies in wrestling, all right? And I think within the last, 2 years, the Nepo baby conversation, especially in the entertainment business when it comes to acting and music, there's such a specific conversation when it comes to Nepo babies and whether or not they deserve the position that they're in with their success. Or rather, I think that it is absolutely deserving that Natalia is in her position, in her career, of being the best of all time. And it isn't just because she's a part of this huge, historic wrestling family, a legendary wrestling family, the Hart family. You know, she's the first woman to graduate from the Hart dungeon. And I always think back to the scene, I believe it's Wrestling with Shadows, where it's, you know, the movie's going through like Bret Hart and his time in WWF and, you know, Montreal Screwjob. But I always think about that one scene where we can hear in the living room of the Hart family household, we can hear from the living room these grown men screaming from the basement, aka the Hart dungeon. And to see Stu Hart put these guys in these holds and putting so much pressure onto the hold, so much where the guys are tapping out and they're like screaming and they're in pain and Stu Hart isn't letting go. She graduated from that. And listen, we all know wrestling families, especially now with the release of the Iron Claw. The fathers, the wrestling fathers, or grandfathers never went easy on their kids or their grandkids if they wanted to get into the business, especially back then. And I can imagine she did not have it easy when it came to being a part of the Hart dungeon, you know? So she's beyond deserving when it comes to her lineage, right? She's the daughter of Jim the Anvil Neidhart, the granddaughter of Stu Hart, the niece of Bret the Hitman Hart, who is undoubtedly considered one of the best technical wrestlers of professional wrestling in general, just in within the entire industry. Natalia checks off all of the boxes, right? She comes from a legendary wrestling family. She started out her career in Canada. She's a Canadian wrestler. There's a lot of respect for so many Canadian wrestlers. She started out in Stampede Wrestling. She made her in-ring debut in 2002. And she moved on to wrestling in Japan in 2005. And that's an element in Natalia's career that I think some people, a majority of people, overlook with Natalia. Because being a wrestler and having the opportunity to wrestle in Japan is huge. That is a version of you made it within the deep lore of the wrestling industry. I think on the surface, the indication that you've made it as a professional wrestler is joining WWE. And she did. And she just recently celebrated 17 years being with the WWE. So she definitely has made it. But she made it in 2005 when she did her Japan run. And I did not know this before I did my research on this, but I did not know that Natalia went to Japan a month after Gaia and All Japan Women's Wrestling stopped. Those two promotions became inactive a month after she arrived in Japan. Could you imagine if Natalia wrestled in Gaia in All Japan? You know, in All Japan, she, you know, AJW, she wrestled... in All Japan, you have these huge names like Manami Toyota, Aja Kong, Bull Nakano, you have Akira Hokuto, you have, I mean, the list goes on so many legendary wrestlers that have come from that promotion. Could you imagine if Natalia were to wrestle in that company just a few years before 2005? Could you imagine if Natalia wrestled in Gaia? Especially for the folks, if you know, you know. For the folks that have watched the Gaia documentary, could you imagine Natalia coming from the Heart Foundation to go on to wrestle in Gaia? And again, if you've watched the Gaia documentary, you know. That documentary is very hard to watch. For some people, it was definitely hard to watch for me when I first got into Joshi wrestling. That was a brutal documentary. The way that they were beating the shit out of some of these women was a little extreme. But for me, it's interesting to think that that probably would be nothing for Natalia coming from the Heart Foundation, coming from the Heart family, the Heart Dungeon. I think that it would be extreme still. Again, if you've seen the Gaia documentary, I don't even know if I can get into complete words. You know, the Joshi, the Japanese style is so stiff. And again, it just kind of blows my mind to think that, damn, if Natalia had went to Japan maybe 2 or 3 years earlier to see her wrestling in promotions like that, like Gaia, to see her wrestling in All Japan Women's Wrestling, would have been so cool. In 2007, she settled with her home promotion, which is WWE. And in 2007, that must have been such a hard time for her. Because you have to consider that during this time, Vince McMahon was still not on good terms with Bret Hart. I believe her dad got fired like 5 times. So I can imagine her position, not only being a woman in wrestling, which we've heard the stories, right? Like, we know how hard it was for women to break out into wrestling. But to be a woman who is a part, again, a part of a family that is in pretty bad terms with one of the biggest wrestling promotions in America, to get signed, I can only imagine the bullshit she went through going into WWE. So she had a lot of hurdles to get through within her beginning career in this huge machine of a company. But since then, she's been a tremendous aspect for the women's division. And every match that Natalia is in, she always does her best to put the other person over, regardless if they are the opponent or if they are the tag partner. Her dedication and her passion for this business to make everyone look good and to give everyone that spotlight, to be a selfless worker, that is an element in a wrestler, in my personal opinion, I think that's rare to come by these days. And Natalia has that. I think some of her best matches in WWE should be studied at wrestling schools on how to put your opponent over. And yeah, you know, the winner of a match, whether it's a regular match or a championship match, you know, the winner is the main star. And I guess you could say the loser is the supporting actor. Natalia, in this case, in this, you know, analogy, Natalia is a Oscar-winning supporting actor in professional wrestling. She may not always be the star, but whenever they give her the green light, she goes. And sometimes, you know, in the beginning of her WWE run, it was hard for her to do that, especially when some of the storylines were about her farting. I mean, how much can you grow and how far can you go as a wrestler when that is consistently all of your storylines? That all changed when it came to her NXT match with Charlotte. Because Charlotte was a brand new person in the game. She was yet another Nepo baby. You know, she comes from the Flair family, Ric Flair's daughter. But she was trying to get out of that shadow. And they trusted Natalia to have this match with Charlotte, which says a lot when a company trusts you to, again, take somebody's hand and walk them through the system, right? They really trusted Natalia to put Charlotte Flair on the map and to put her over. I mean, look where Charlotte Flair is now today in professional wrestling. Her accolades, her accomplishments. I truly think it would not be possible for Charlotte Flair to deliver that if it wasn't for that match with Natalia in NXT. That match put Charlotte on the map. And it also put women's wrestling in NXT on the map. And I think Natalia equally deserves the high praise for that match. With that NXT match, Natalia, like, put herself on the map too. Not just Charlotte, but she was slowly putting herself on the map too. And it was because they gave Natalia no time limit with that. They told Natalia, go out there, make Charlotte look good, but go out there and do what you do best. And that was the match where Natalia felt like a star. That was the match where Natalia felt like officially a veteran in this business, in that company. Natalia is far, far deserving of the accolades that Charlotte Flair got. But, you know, it is what it is. That match really changed the way fans looked at Natalia. You know, coming from the Divas era, it was very difficult for those women to gain any respect from a masculine fan base who couldn't look past a pink butterfly. It was very hard for those women to gain any respect from the fan base. Again, when you're writing storylines about people farting, the presentation of the Divas product in general, it was very hard for those women to break through. And because of that match that Natalia had with Charlotte at NXT, I feel that she finally broke through. But I think the spotlight became brighter for Natalia. It became brighter for Natalia after the 2016 WWE draft. And she was drafted to SmackDown with possibly one of the best women's roster on SmackDown to date. Because you had Natalia, you had Becky Lynch, Nikki Bella, Alexa Bliss, Naomi, Carmella. That roster is a perfect combination of NXT come-up talent, right? You had Becky Lynch, you had Alexa Bliss, but you also had the Divas with Nikki Bella and Naomi. And it was a clash of two styles, and it was perfect for Natalia. Because at that point, Natalia mastered the Divas style, right? And she was held back. She was. In the beginning of her career in WWE, she was held back a little bit. Especially if you've watched some of her Japan stuff, she was. When they're telling her to just pull each other's hairs and slap each other and I guess throw in some kicks here and there, she was held back a little bit. But I think finally when she was able to play with this roster of women on SmackDown in 2016, this is where Natalia gained that momentum from fans that she can absolutely go. And whenever they put her in a match, she is very reliable and she is a fantastic worker. And I think this time on SmackDown proved that. She definitely proved that during this time on SmackDown. I definitely say her most notable moment was winning the SmackDown Women's Championship at SummerSlam. That's probably the highest moment of her entire career. And again, even as champion, she still had the responsibility to put others over while maintaining her status as a top talent on SmackDown. And I think she did a really good job with her run as SmackDown Women's Champion. Now, I know that there are going to be some people that are going to say, you know, but Natalia doesn't have charisma and Natalia isn't very good on the mic. And yes, she's a good technical wrestler, but, you know, I agree. You have to have the full package when it comes to being a good top tier talent, right? You need to be good in the ring. You need to have the mic skills. You need to have the look. You need to have the charisma. You need to have that certain je ne sais quoi, that ooze of power, that aura when you enter a ring. And yeah, there are some departments where Natalia, you know, it kind of slacks, but I feel that if you would have put Natalia with some mouthpiece, it would have worked out. Could you imagine Natalia managed by Paul Heyman? Paul Heyman, someone that really would have broken down a bloodline of a historic legendary wrestling family. He's doing it with Roman Reigns now. So imagine if you paired Paul Heyman up with Natalia. Paul Heyman would have been the one to really elevate Natalia to that position. And you know what? It didn't happen. It's probably never going to happen. And that's okay. That is completely fine. Because Natalia is still a pillar of women's wrestling, and she continues to be a ringleader, and she continues to put countless women over to this day. Still, take for instance her feud with Rhea Ripley last year. Extremely underrated. That is a great feud that Rhea Ripley had for her world women's championship, right? For her women's world championship, that was a great feud for that, this era that Rhea Ripley is in with that championship. That is absolutely one of Natalia's best feuds in her career. But I will say, go back and watch Natalya versus Rhea Ripley during the July 3rd edition of Monday Night Raw. That's the match that proved it. It isn't the crown jewel match. It's that match that proved it. But also, you know, while you're going back and you're watching Natalya matches, check out one of her second best feuds. And that's with Nikki Bella in 2017. Go back and watch their match that they had at the Elimination Chamber in 2017. Those two feuds and those two specific matches are great examples of Natalya being a fantastic worker and helping putting other talent over. I believe Elimination Chamber 2017, I believe that was the event where Nikki Bella was in her hometown. And Nikki Bella is wearing like the Phoenix Suns gear. Really great gear from Nikki Bella, by the way. But those two matches that Natalya had with Rhea Ripley and Nikki Bella, fantastic work. Pure examples of how to be a unselfish wrestler in this business. She has. And also, she's like a 6-time Guinness Book of World Record breaker. She's had one of the most, she's had most matches in WWE with the women. She's had the most matches. She's had the most pay-per-view appearances. Like, that's a big deal too, you know? She may not have been multi-time winner of a championship in WWE, but I think holding 6 Guinness Books of World Records is a pretty huge thing for Natalya. And it's really cool to see her now get that recognition because, again, you know, she's always had it. Her run in Japan, I think that's definitely proven that. Go watch some of that footage if you can find it online. I found some snippets of her matches online, and my God, compare that to her first few matches that she had in WWE, night and day. Absolute night and day. But we always enter that conversation now that we've been exposed and we have the access to see wrestlers in their element outside of WWE, right? We see that with Bryan Danielson even before he was in AEW. We saw it when he was in Ring of Honor. Seth Rollins as Tyler Black in Ring of Honor. We see it all across the board where there were so many of these wrestlers that are now or were in WWE. They were just a little bit better outside of that company. They were a little bit better outside of the machine because they're two different styles, you know? WWE is sports entertainment and everything else is pure professional wrestling. And that's okay. But it's amazing to see her open her own dungeon doors to everyone in the business who has the passion and the commitment in this industry. It really is. From B-Fab, Jade Cargill, you have other people showing up from outside of WWE, like Ricky Starks, Killer Kelly, Miyu Yamashita, Billy Starks. You have Utami Hayashishida. The list goes on and it continues because how could you not want to train with a figure in professional wrestling like Natalya? I'm so happy that Natalya is finally entering the conversation of being a legendary performer. And I'm glad everyone is catching up. Again, I've said it in my 2024 predictions video. I think Natalya should have a Japan run. Recently, WWE has started working a working relationship with AJPW. And Charlie Dempsey did a really great job with his match over there. And it was a success. And now there's rumors flying that WWE might work with Stardom. So let's get Natalya over there. She's a legend who comes from a historic wrestling family. Put her in Stardom. Let her work in Stardom. Could you imagine Micah versus Natalya? Julia versus Natalya? Starlight Kid versus Natalya, Mayu Iwatani versus Natalya. So many dream matches Natalya could have in Japan. again, she is an unselfish pillar in professional wrestling. And it's empowering to see so many talented performers put Natalia over in countless interviews, any chance they can get. And Natalia deserves the love and the recognition. And I really do think it'll be a very special day when she is inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. So that's that. That's all I have to say about Natalia. And I really am so happy that I got the opportunity to talk about this. And I'm really happy. I'm really happy. Good for her. Good for Natalia. Good for her. But what do you guys think? What is your favorite Natalia match? What is your favorite Natalia moment besides her farting? I want to hear about the diva, Total Divas moments that she's had, you know? Her mom walking in on Natalia and a dominatrix in the kitchen. If you know, you know. If you don't know, go watch Total Divas. Listen, were the storylines just off the wall crazy on Total Divas, the episodes? Yes, they absolutely were. 1,000% they were. But it was still entertaining. And it's coming from a company that is not a wrestling company. It's a sports entertainment company. And it was entertaining. And it was fascinating to the point where women that were watching that show on E! Entertainment... Again, let's think about the shows that are on the network of E! Entertainment. You had The Fashion Police. You had Keeping Up with the Kardashians. The hardcore wrestling fans. I'm sorry, the neckbeards that are always putting down Total Divas and saying that it's damaging to the women's wrestling, you know, divisions. They were never going to watch E! Entertainment. They were never going to watch that network. So why are they complaining? Why are they complaining? It's not meant for them. Oh no, sorry. Something in wrestling is not meant for you. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because the show, who it was geared for, those people came. And those people are now still wrestling fans. And yeah, Natalia was absolutely goofy and nutty on Total Divas, but she is the one person that lasted all 9 seasons. Again, she wanted to help the women. She wanted to help that show and highlight the women's division in WWE. And she did help that. And she continued to do that. She definitely did. So if one of your favorite Natalia moments is on Total Divas, please let me know. I would love to know it. And again, let me know what your favorite Natalia moment was and tweet at her. Let her know that. Let her know now how much she is honored in wrestling, how much we appreciate seeing her on our screens. It's not her fault that sometimes she's not booked very well. That's not her. She's not booking the show. But she's a tremendous wrestler and she's great to watch in the ring. So I hope you guys like this episode. I hope you guys like this conversation. I hope to do more of these episodes. So if you like this episode, of course, if you're watching this on YouTube, give it a thumbs up, subscribe to the channel, hit the bell notifications. And you can also give this 5 stars on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, leave a comment, leave a review. That definitely helps me and it helps me branch out more into the algorithm. So yeah. Thanks for listening, guys. Thanks for watching. I'm Alex Lajas. You know where you can find me over on Twitter, Queen of the Ring with 2 G's, _ Queen of the Ring on Instagram, and of course, youtube.com/ Queen of the Ring Wrestling. This was a fun episode. I'm happy to do it, and I'm excited to do more of these. So, Natalia, we love you. You're great. I also once I tweeted at Natalia. I was like, why is it that Natalia doesn't have her own makeup line? Could you imagine if she had her own line where she had like little heart compacts and powder compacts? She had her own foundation line or concealers called the Heart Foundation. Like, hello? It writes itself. Actually, oh my gosh, I would love to see a collaboration with Trixie Mattel and Natalia. I feel like those two would brand together so well. I mean, the pink Barbie aspect that Trixie Mattel has and just the overall glam and beauty and muscle that Natalia has. And she's, listen, Natalia is a fashion icon, okay? When you're wearing that much Louis Vuitton, you're a fashion icon. And I think that they should have a collaboration and have a makeup line. It would be so iconic. I would love to see it. But anywho, maybe you guys can tweet at Natalia and we can petition that and have that come to life. Hopefully. Hopefully. We'll see. But thanks for watching. Thanks for listening, guys. I will see you very soon. I'm Alex Lajas. Follow me everywhere. Queen of the Ring. Do that damn thing. That rhymed. I don't know why. But I love you guys and I'll see you soon.